Welcome to the IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast for couples who struggle with infertility and want to fulfill their dreams of becoming parents. In this podcast, you'll learn actionable strategies to deal with infertility from Dr. Michael Chapman, or Prof as he's affectionately known. Prof is the co-founder of IVF Australia and is a leading Australian infertility specialist who has helped over 3,000 couples realise their dreams of becoming parents. To access previous episodes packed with ideas, solutions and tips that actually work, head over to Dr. Chapman's IVF podcast on iTunes. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him, michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.
That first cry of a baby born after the long journey of IVF remains one of the most beautiful experiences in the world. As an obstetrician and an IVF specialist, I've had the privilege of experiencing this over many thousands of times in my long career, but I still remain moved by each baby's first cry. It signifies the end of a long journey and the beginning of a new life. This is Professor Michael Chapman, co-founder of IVF Australia and host of the IVF Journey podcast. Thanks for tuning in. To access all the previous episodes, head over to my website, www.theivfjourney.com, and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu. You'll also be able to find the various services that we provide at IVF Australia. So today we're going to talk about something that unfortunately happens to the majority of couples who get to the end of their IVF cycle, and that's a negative pregnancy test. Despite technological advances over the last 30 years, success rates per cycle for IVF are rarely above 50%. In most cases, the success rate is around 30 to 40% per cycle, certainly in women under the age of 40. It's a terrible moment when the realization is that all that you've gone through has not worked. It's part of the roller coaster of the IVF journey. You've spent a month working towards a pregnancy. You've had injections to stimulate the ovaries to produce eggs, and you've produced eggs. You've had a procedure to collect the eggs, and there were eggs there. The sperm and the eggs have got together to produce an embryo. That embryo has grown on beautifully. And each of those steps, optimism rules. You are going to be the one. This cycle is going to be successful. But despite all of those positives, after the 10 or 12 day wait, vaginal bleeding starts, or you have a blood test done and it's a negative for the beta HCG hormone. Picking yourself up after that smack in the head is not easy. Tears and anger are not uncommon. You're normal to feel that way. I don't know of any patient who's taken that news well. So, what do you do next? Some of you will be lucky and have frozen embryos sitting in storage waiting for another cycle. How soon should go ahead? Well, there's no evidence to suggest that going straight ahead is a problem. Personally, I think it's worth waiting a month, not for any hormonal or physical thing, but more about recovering from the pain that you've just suffered. If you have a frozen embryo, then the doctor will arrange a cycle. If you have a normal, regular cycle when on your own and you ovulate spontaneously, then he'll probably just put it in on a cycle without any further medication. Some of us, particularly in women over 35, tend to support the second half of the cycle, either with progesterone pessaries or giving pregnancy hormone injections. Evidence for either of these is negligible, since a natural cycle should be successful. But there is a small group of women who do suffer from something called luteal phase deficiency, where progesterone levels aren't quite good enough, even if you've ovulated, and the lining of the womb breaks up early. If you don't have frozen embryos, then I'm afraid it's back to square one. It's vital to go back to your specialist, sit with him, and look at what happened in your recent unsuccessful cycle. Are there things that could be changed? The problem for the specialist is, if it was your first cycle, while what he's prescribed is probably average for all women with your particular problem of infertility, but no woman is actually average. And so modifications of the average are often called for in a subsequent cycle. Could we have got more eggs if we'd used a larger dose? If that's the question being asked, then perhaps yes. If you only got 3 or 4 eggs, then a higher dose may produce more eggs in the next cycle. Worthwhile changing. Was there a deficiency of the LH hormone? Some people believe that adding in LH in those women whose blood tests show low LH levels during a cycle may be beneficial to improving numbers and egg quality. Was the fertilization rate poor? This could be because of sperm problems. While a basic semen analysis can tell you about normality and motility and numbers, there are perhaps other tests that might indicate a sperm problem and indicate a way forward. Sperm DNA fragmentation is sometimes a reason for poor fertilization. Not all specialists will do that as a first-line routine test, but certainly if fertilization rates are poor in that first cycle, it's worth doing. And then subsequently, selecting sperm either by high magnification or PICSI have been suggested as ways of improving fertilization rates and therefore hopefully get a successful cycle next time. The other aspects of the cycle to be looked at were the development of the embryos normal. Did they stop on day 4 or 5? And again, that may suggest a sperm problem. What about the transfer itself? Was it straightforward? Was it easy? If it wasn't easy, maybe you should have a dilatation of the cervix and the curette. Some doctors think that a laparoscopy, even though there is no symptoms to suggest any problems, is worthwhile after one unsuccessful IVF cycle. This is to exclude endometriosis predominantly, but also gives us a chance to look in the uterus as well with a hysteroscopy to make sure everything inside the uterus is normal. As I've said in other podcasts, the most likely reason for failure in that cycle isn't anything to do with mum, it's to do with the genetics of the embryo. Embryos created in a woman of 30 have around about a 40% chance of being genetically abnormal, even though they look like beautiful embryos under the microscope. At 40, that has jumped to nearly 80%. By 45, it's as high as 98% of all embryos created, no matter how good they look, will have genetic abnormalities that make pregnancy either impossible or having a huge chance of miscarriage. So going forward after a successful cycle, the doctor may offer you the opportunity to test your embryos before they're put back, to allow only putting back those with a genetic makeup which is normal.
It certainly improves the success rate. However, it may find that no embryos are suitable for transfer, and that can be extremely disappointing. So seeing your doctor and having that conversation is very important before you move on. Move on to another cycle, either a frozen cycle or another fresh cycle, or perhaps move on to accepting childlessness. If your cycle has been unsuccessful, particularly after 3 or 4 goes, and you're not producing good embryos, the doctor may well suggest that it's time to pull up stumps and accept where you are. It's a very hard decision to make, but it is one potential option after being unsuccessful with IVF.
And don't forget that you can access all the previous episodes by going to our website, www.theivfjourney.com, and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu.
Thank you for listening to The IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast which helps couples negotiate their way through the IVF journey all the way to parenthood. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.